What is happening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Talk To Me. You know it, it's the show where I get my friends to talk to me. And yes, we are finally in the new studio. It's finally happened. It's our first episode. I am very upset that Stat isn't here. I wanted our first episode to be with Stat. That was the point. But old mate has gone and chased off wild dreams in Melbourne. He's going to be there for 2 months, but we're going to be here still trying to give you guys some content. You saw last month's video. It was Kurt Skelly and Dean Miller, two great preachers. And I thought, you know what? We've got to follow it up. Joe, we have to follow it up. We have to follow it up with a great preacher as well. Just keep it going. Keep it coming. And we got Fraser Young. How are you, bud?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Ray.
It's good to have you, man.
I've been coming here for a long time, but just couldn't.
We couldn't
coordinate.
We couldn't iron it out, get it in, and we finally did.
But I'm in Sydney this week. In fact, I'm at Condell Park, and they say that Condell Park is the most beautiful part of all the Condell Park area.
Listen, me and the boys call it God's country. Condell Park is God's country. You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah. Mate, it's good to have you. Thank you for jumping on.
Yeah, awesome.
And if you guys don't know Fraser Young, he's just mate. You're anything and everything to anyone that needs it, really. You're an evangelist, you're a kids minister, you're a young adults minister. You've been doing it for years, and that's why you're here, actually. You're doing a kids thing in Condell Park, right?
They used to call them Vacation Bible School, but now we call it Kids Club.
So what's the Kids Club involved? What are you doing there?
Well, we do a program, and I've been doing these things for 30 years, eh? But what we do, we get obviously church kids, primary school age kids, and as many kids as we can from the community. And I've been doing this at Condell Park now for nearly 20 years.
It's been that long now, has it?
How long? Most probably 18 years, 19 years. In past years, we've had up to 150 kids a day packed into that little hall.
That's
And we have a lot of, you know, we do a lot of stuff. We sing songs and we have a skit. But, of course, we also preach the word. We preach the gospel. This week we've got 100 kids registered. That's all they could take, basically.
That was capacity?
That's capacity.
That's it.
And they've got kids on the waiting list. And as of Sunday night, 44 new kids from 13 new families. Not church kids, not other church kids, just kids from the community.
That is awesome.
So it's an unreal opportunity just to have some fun with these kids and then, of course, preach the gospel to them.
Mm.
It's an awesome ministry. It's a lot of work. It's huge work. But reaching, I mean, where else are you going to reach that many unsaved people, unsaved families in 1 week?
It's crazy, especially in the kids ministry now. You know, and you all know, I'm a big kids guy. I'm in the kids world as well. And it's awesome to see the Lord using kids ministry, something as dumb as dressing up in a costume and putting on an accent, work in the lives of kids. How do you accommodate for both the Christian kids you got there and those visitors that you know that aren't saved? Like, how do you toe that line to make sure you're providing something for both camps?
Well, all kids need to be saved.
Yep.
All kids need the Lord. So church kids, non-church kids, doesn't matter. So we always go back, we go right back to basics. And I started this morning in my Bible message. We go back to creation, the fall of man.
That's all right, bro. Should be recording on there. Yeah, you're good. Sorry about that, mate. Joseph's just interrupting us once again, ladies and gents. Sorry about that. Keep going.
That's good. We always go back to, we go back to the start, back to creation, the fall of man, because kids today, they don't know the gospel.
They really don't.
No one knows anything about the gospel.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So we basically treat the church kids, the kids from the community, we treat everyone the same, and we go back to the beginning.
Mm.
They need to know that God created the world in 6 literal days. God gave us the Bible. There was the fall of man. There was, you know, there were two characters, Adam and Eve. And then we go, of course, tomorrow will be a message on sin and the effects of sin. And then as we go through the week, we get to the cross and the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus, and then an opportunity to trust him. So every year has the same formula.
How long's the camp? The
It goes for about 3.5 hours a day, yeah. And they do a lot of stuff that crafts and games and all that. So I don't have anything to do with that. I've got enough to do.
Yeah.
But there's good workers, you know.
That's awesome.
Good workers there. So it's a great week. So,
and that's a whole week, 5 days?
Whole week, yeah. Well, we started today, 4 days.
4 days.
So Monday, yesterday was a big setup day, and they decorate the hall and stuff here, but it's good.
That's awesome.
I make a fool of myself, hey. I keep saying to the pastor there, isn't there someone else? Isn't there someone else that can make a fool of themselves that's maybe younger or whatever? No, you're the one. You're good at making a fool of yourself.
Yeah, so that's it.
I don't know who I am sometimes. This week, I'm Diver Dan. I've got this,
you're Diver Dan. So what's the theme?
Under the Sea.
Okay, it's Under the Sea.
Yeah.
You're Diver Dan.
So we've got pirates, cowboys. We've got one we're doing in another church later this year. It's called Days of Knights or Medieval Madness. Nice. So I dress up as a knight called Sir Lunchalot. Not Sir Lancelot, Sir Lunchalot. And his sidekick is Sir Salibhead.
That's good.
Not Sir Galahad.
I like that.
He's a vegan knight. So
that's good.
But we have a lot of fun, hey. And and kids just get, you know what this is the greatest blessing of ministry. Mm. I am now teaching children in kids' clubs, Bible clubs. And I was teaching their parents 20, 25 years ago.
That's
and crazy. Now these kids have come to know the Lord, been discipled, got married, had kids, and their kids are now coming to Kids Club.
That's awesome.
That's ministry.
Why kids?
You got to reach kids young. You have to reach people young before the world gets to them. While you know, children, their hearts, their minds are still
malleable. Yeah,
they're soft.
Is that why you chose? Did you choose to go into kids ministry?
No.
What happened? No.
It's just the way it happened. I'm just a big kid at heart. I'm 61 now. I know I don't look it, but I'm 61. But I still have the mentality of a 9-year-old, and I'm working to keep that.
I like that.
Yeah. Look, it's just one of the things I do. I mean, that's probably one of the. It's a minority of things I do, but children's ministry is still an important part of it. And people just keep asking me back. I don't know.
It's one of those things. I think the thing about kids ministry that always gets me, like you said, they're so malleable. It's seeing that wonder in their eye when you teach them the gospel message for the first time, or they're just experiencing something new that is so common to us. But teaching kids is such a simplistic way of teaching the gospel. It always takes me back to the simplicity of the gospel message. That's what I love about it. And it's one of those areas that, whether people want to admit it or not, they disregard it. You know, it's kids ministry. They're just going to play some games and, you know, do some craft, finger paint, whatever it is. But it is such an important part of the church ministry. It's such an important part of what we get to do, because, like you said, you're giving them the gospel that early and you're setting up their foundations for later down the line.
Yeah. What did Jesus say? He said, you've got to become like a little child. Not childish, childlike.
Yeah.
That's what faith is.
Yeah.
It's childlike faith. Jesus said, you've got to become like a little child. You're not going to get to heaven. And adults, adults struggle at that. Adults complicate the way of salvation, where it's very simple. We're sinners.
It's a simple message.
Christ died for sinners. He was buried. He rose again. And he will save us if we call on him. Mm. Kids see that as a simple way. And I love it.
It's great, isn't it? I love it. So how'd you start in it? Take us back all the way back then.
My earliest memories of children's ministry is as a 7-year-old kid. I was saved as a 7-year-old boy in just north of Gosford, a little town called, in fact, it's not even a town, it's a locality called Doyleson. And there's a little Baptist Union church there, still there, I think. Haven't been there for decades. But I was saved as a 7-year-old boy. And that church had some great children's ministries. And there were, and I remember as a kid, my mum, my father died when I was 3. I never knew my dad.
Okay.
My brother and I, we were raised in a single parent family. And, but my mum, had the common sense to, involve us in children's ministry. And to this day, I remember the fellas, preachers that were, left a vivid impression of the gospel on my mind as a young child. There's a fellow called Godfrey Theobald, and he's long gone now. But the impact on my life from that fella was just phenomenal. And others, I used to go to, well, again, they used to call them Vacation Bible School or Daily DVBS.
Okay.
Daily Vacation Bible School
as
a kid. And the stuff that I learned then, I still remember that now. It's just, it's so important
to
do. But anyway,
Sorry, but that is a good point. Like, that's actually something I've said to my teachers at church. I have a children's church crew, and they're all younger guys and girls, and they're learning to be in the ministry. And I always tell them, I go, what are the lessons that you remember the most? It's not the stuff from main service. It's not the stuff from the main, you know, auditorium. A lot of the times, it's not the stuff from your teen years. A lot of the times, the lessons you remember are from when you were a kid. And that's such a good point. Keep going.
The impact we can have on lives, we have no idea.
Yeah.
When we get to heaven, God will show us.
Exactly.
We have no idea the impact we have on young lives. Mm. No idea. and it's just amazing. As to how I got into that, look, I don't know. I've just always been involved in kids ministry, even when I was a kid.
Really? It just happened?
It just happened. And, you know, look, the Lord has, I suppose, given me some abilities and so on. Like, I play music by ear. I play the accordion and that sort of stuff. And I think I can – there's an awful lot of things I can't do in this world, but I can convey the gospel to the common man and to children.
Yep.
That's maybe my gift.
Well, I always say, if you can teach a kid the gospel, you can teach anyone the gospel.
Yeah.
And if you can keep their attention, you can keep anyone's attention. Yeah, these kids are brutal, man. They're mean.
Oh, absolutely.
They're very mean. I remember when I was teaching a pre-K class, 4 and 5 year olds. I was like, you know what? We're going to have story time. And I brought out a book that I wrote. It was called Russell Learns About God's Love. I was very happy with this book. I was like, yeah, you know, it's going to be for the kids. I opened it up. I go, we're going to read this book today. One kid yells from the back of the room, oh, no, that's boring. Broke my heart, but they're so honest. They're so honest. Yeah, and that's what's awesome about them is that they will tell you, listen, give me more or I'm out of here. I love that about kids.
Yeah. And I do think also old tech, old school is good. I mean, we use technology as much as we can, but stories, you know, not canned music, but just playing guitar or singing or whatever. This old school, kids love that stuff. They're bombarded by technology now. So when they see something old tech, a story out of a storybook, love it.
That's interesting because I never thought of it that way because, like, you don't really advance a lot of kids' stuff except for, you know, your costumes or your acting. Like, I find us doing a lot more of that these days, costumes and acting and trying to bring stuff to life. But it's always those older style methods. Do you think it's because they're bombarded with tech?
I think so. You know, we say that kids can't concentrate these days, but it's the adults that can't concentrate. You know, kids have a short attention span. We understand that. And that's why you have to adjust your ministry, your teaching ministry, to those short attention spans. Most of the kids' clubs we do are not at Condell Park. Yeah. Condell Park, it's bigger than Ben-Hur. It really is.
Sure.
It's a masterpiece of organisation. Most churches, we don't have that many people. And so I actually do everything for that first hour.
Okay.
I have to play the accordion, sorry. I have to play the accordion, sing the songs, ad-lib with some kids' jokes, tell a story, do a memory verse, run the skit, do a Bible message. And I'll go for an hour straight just by myself. And then when it gets to crafts and games, I'm no good at that stuff. I leave that delegate to someone else. Okay. But it's got to be quick. 3 to 4 minutes each segment. You can't teach a kid for 25 minutes. They're not going to sit there for that.
Yeah.
You know, 4 or 5 minutes, maybe 8, 9 minutes at a stretch.
You just got to keep it moving.
And you've got to keep stories. You've got to keep telling them stories, illustrate in however you want to do that. But I love the kids' ministry because.
Awesome.
Can I tell you a story?
Go.
We were sharing some testimonies at my home church in Coffs Harbour about a month ago, and I was actually there, I think it was a Wednesday night, and people are just sharing testimonies, how they came to know the Lord. My sister-in-law got up and said, I was saved as a young teenager at when Fraser was preaching about, you know, 25 years ago in at YE. I didn't know that. You know, and it's amazing.
That's
the greatest thrill in life is when someone comes up and says, I was saved. You preached at camp. And I'm thinking, wow, I didn't actually do very good. I most probably didn't.
Yeah.
But God takes that We have no idea.
We've got no clue, man.
We have no idea what God is doing in lives.
No clue.
And I think God, because he doesn't want us to be puffed up, he wants to keep us humble, he keeps us in the dark, and we don't need to know that anyway. We just need to be faithful.
That's a great point. It's a humbling thing, because like when you do find out someone's gotten saved, it's such a like, wow, the Lord used me to do that. But if you get that too much, it can sort of be like, oh yeah, the Lord used me to do that.
Now, I might be Robinson Crusoe here, but I don't keep numbers of church meetings, salvations. I never keep numbers because we don't know.
It's dangerous.
We don't know. Yeah. I will say so many people made a decision or made a profession of faith. I don't know whether they're saved.
100%.
I can't say we had 17 saved. I don't know that. I hope and trust that 17 were saved, but I don't know that. I'll leave that up to God.
Yep.
As long as we're faithful in preaching the gospel, giving them an opportunity to respond.
Yep.
We need to close the net.
Yep.
And then we leave the rest to God. Obviously, there's the follow-up, there's discipleship, there's all that stuff. But I'm not a big one for numbers because I don't know what they mean. You know?
I think that's the right way to do it. I mean, it's such a measurement. We're such measured people. We like to measure things by numbers and all that, but that's not what ministry is.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing the work of the Lord and allowing him to provide the increase.
Yeah.
But you don't just do kids ministry, mate. You do teens and young adults. Like that's how I first got to know you, because I never went to any of your kids things back in the day, but I saw you during my teen years. You came to Epic a fair bit and you did a couple of things with us there. What's the difference between talking to a kid and talking to a young adult?
Good question. Look, the children's side of it for me is a minority. Most of it I'm preaching to adults. I mean, okay. Almost every weekend of every year I'm preaching in a church somewhere.
Because you're an evangelist, right? Yeah. You're going from church to church.
Yeah, that's what I do. Sometimes you just have to switch hats.
Yeah.
You've got to switch audience. You switch, you know, if you're talking to senior citizens, well, you've got to adjust your message to them. You know, it's always harder. You know, we had Vision to Serve.
Yep.
Seven weeks ago. Talking to other pastors, that's
rough.
It's always confronting.
That's hard, yeah.
Because I'm always thinking, I hope my doctrine's right.
I hope I didn't get anything wrong. Someone's coming up right after the message. Yeah. Hey, mate, you got the wrong number verse there.
And it does happen. You say the wrong verse, or you say something exactly opposite to what you were intending to say.
Yep.
You didn't mean to say it. It just came out. And of course, normally one of my family members will remind me and say, hey, Dad, did you really mean that? What did I say? I didn't say that. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Listen to the tape. Oh, okay. I said it. I'm sorry. But when people get to know you, and I think they understand.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So, but most of the time I'm just preaching somewhere. This coming week, I was telling you before, we've got an 18-hour drive Friday to get to Adelaide, and I preach all day Sunday in Adelaide. Next week, we have teen camp in Adelaide. And then the following weekend, two more churches. Then the following weekend, three days worth of meetings in another town in South Australia. So it just keeps going.
How do you keep doing it?
This is our, I've been preaching over 40 years, but this is our 33rd year in full-time ministry.
Wow.
And I ask myself sometimes, how can I keep going? Because you do get tired.
Yeah.
But, you know, Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's you know, you exchange. You exchange your engine for the Lord.
That's good.
And I'm very good at, I'm not much of a person for holiday vacations.
Yep.
But I can switch off.
Okay.
I can take a 10-minute switch off or a day, maybe now and again, take a day off and just do nothing. You know, sometimes, and I tell this to pastors, sometimes to be productive, you've got to not be productive. Just switch your brain off.
I agree with that 100%.
Now, I don't have any hobbies anymore. I used to play golf. I played golf for 1 year and I retired.
How'd you find that?
It wasn't very good. Really? Yeah. I mean, I had so many slices, I could have opened a cake shop. I'm serious. I had so many hooks, I could have opened a tackle shop.
How many more of these do you have? So what do you do to just take the load off? What's your hobby? What do you do?
I take a few photos now and again, but even that, I don't do much of that now.
Yeah.
Bit of reading. I like to walk.
Okay.
I walk a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I would play rugby league. If I was able to, I would play rugby league today because I love rugby league. But my last game was about 40 years ago.
I just had a picture of you playing some footy right now at your age, mate. That would have been rough.
Oh, man. You know, I was only in one grand final.
Okay.
That was on Cumberland Oval for Arthur Phillip High School.
Nice.
Against Girraween High School, 1979. That was before Parramatta Stadium. There was Cumberland Oval.
Yep.
Parramatta Stadium was demolished and now it's, what is it? Bank West or?
It's now Combank.
Combank.
They changed it again.
Okay. I haven't been to that one. But yeah. And
good
back,
stadium.
Back in those days, it was just gravel.
Yeah.
With a little few bits of grass.
Yeah.
But I love rugby league.
Did you win that grand final?
No.
That's
we
brutal.
We played Girraween High
That's
School.
That's brutal.
I still have nightmares about that.
Dead set.
Because I hate losing.
That's the thing about sport, man. Especially footy. It gets to you. What position did you play?
Second row. Lock.
Second row. Nice.
Yeah. I got best and fairest that year. I scored a try in the grand final. We lost 7-5. Now get this. This is true. Penalties were 14-2 against us.
14-2. What are you guys doing?
I don't know.
That's
We got whooped. It was a very good game. It was a very good game. But so I am still filthy on that game, mate.
Well, you're thinking of a... Mate, we're filming this on the eve of Origin 3. This episode probably come out in two weeks.
Yeah.
So I don't know how Game 3 goes, but I can probably tell that we're going to get whitewashed because...
No doubt about it.
We're a joke. I cannot believe how bad our team has been this year. What are your thoughts on Origin, man?
Well, I'm a massive Bunnies fan. So
yeah, I was going to ask you to take your hat off. To be honest, I'm not a big fan of that being in the room.
Yeah, especially after last weekend. I don't want to talk about that. I was hoping Stat was going to be here with his Bulldogs.
Oh, he definitely would have been.
But I wouldn't have been saying anything because of last weekend. But New South Wales just it doesn't mean as much to someone from New South Wales.
It really doesn't.
But the Queensland, it's like a religion. But honestly, I like the Rabbitohs. I don't care really anymore about New South Wales. I like the Bunnies.
You're done with it. Yeah, see, well. That's the argument that I have, is that New South Wales, the players, they do not understand Origin. Queensland does. They understand it. So, like, it is blood, sweat, and tears to them. Like, they will do anything to win that shield. But New South Wales don't get it.
No.
And it was so evident with Luai. Like, he put up a post recently about how, you know, everyone needs to calm down and just go back to their day job. And I'm just like, you don't get it. You don't understand what the shield means to the diehard fans.
Yeah. No, that's right. Look, I don't know. To me, I think it's a bit of a circus.
Okay.
State of Origin. The fact is, look, you never...
This is a hot take, mate. This is a hot take. This ain't something that people will agree with you. Like, why do you think that?
Well, because... you look at it. No Sonny Bill Williams.
Yeah.
No Sam Burgess.
Yep.
No Jason Taumalolo. Mm-hmm. The legends of the last 20 years never played State of Origin. You're not getting the best players in State of Origin.
It's a fair point.
You know, you're getting Queensland, New South. I mean, Greg Inglis grew up in Bowerville, just south of Coffs Harbour.
That bugs me.
He played his junior footy there. I've got a friend in Coffs Harbour, played against him in his junior footy days. And how's he played for Queensland? Maybe he put a foot over the border at, you know, Tweed Heads one day and decided to play for Queensland.
Yeah, that's
or
always
bugged me. Maybe he thought, I've got better chance of winning.
Yeah, 100%.
Queensland.
100%. That's always bugged me. The selection process and who's eligible for what team. And that's always bugged me. But I love Origin season.
I used to like it. Yeah. But now I just, maybe it's because New South Wales keeps losing.
it's just heartbreaking every year. It's just heartbreaking. And the worst part is, I was saying this to the boys the other day, I get my hopes up. I think, nah, it's going to be different. We're going to win something. Something's going to happen. And then it doesn't. And that breaks my heart.
Yeah. Well, you look back, I mean, it's cattle. Football players are cattle. You look back at the Johns era, Andrew Johns. New South Wales were dominant.
They were crazy.
And then along came Thurston, Smith, Inglis, Cronk. Well, they are generational
that
players.
That era was unbelievable.
They were all marquee players in the one side. And what are you going to do? I mean, you're not going to...
It is what it is.
Was it 10 in a row, 11 in a row or something?
What was it, Joe? Was it 10, 11? Eight in a row?
Eight. And then it was like...
Then they took over again, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and then it was like 10 out of 12 or 10 out of 12 or something like that. Oh, well, they're just very good players.
They really are, mate. Queensland's another level.
Yeah.
Hats off to him.
I mean, Fittler was a good player. Fittler was a legendary player.
Yeah.
He was very good.
Besides this year, was always one of my favourite NRL personalities when it came to coaching, playing, whatever. I think he just dropped it this year. He just doesn't know what he's doing with that team.
No. He's grasping at straws, as they say. And
yeah.
No, I think New South Wales are going to get flogged tomorrow night, so...
It is what it is. I didn't even want to watch it, man. I've got the boys coming over just because, like, they needed a place to watch. I go, yeah, come over. I don't want to see it. I really don't. It hurts too much.
I just don't want my Rabbitohs players to get injured.
Yeah.
That's all.
Mate, it's happening. Wait, bro, have you seen the swap out? From game one to game two, it was 6 injuries.
Yeah.
I'm like, mate, we're losing everyone.
Yeah.
We're losing everybody.
But Latrell's been injured. He hasn't been right.
He's been gone.
Turbo.
Gone.
Injured. Tabasco sauce. What's his name? Tedesco.
Tedesco.
Wrong Tabasco.
No, he's been playing, hasn't he?
He's been playing.
He's not been playing well.
He's not what he's used to be.
I think he's done.
And now...
For rep footy, he's done.
I think so. And your halfback from Penrith.
Cleary.
I mean, he's an awesome player, but he's injured. So, New South Wales, they're not going to win.
No.
It's not him.
It's coming from the other side of it. We're happy to see the whitewash. Thank you. I'll just be in pain for the next year until we get back there. Because listen, I'm a Bulldogs fan, bro. This is the only thing that could happen for me. The Bulldogs ain't getting to no grand final in at least 5 to 10 years.
No.
We are horrendous.
They don't have the cattle.
They really don't. We're rubbish. I went to the game with this Gronk. I went to the Bulldogs Knights game. The 66-0 bashing.
Oh, no.
I sat in the stands listening to Bulldogs fans around me starting to cheer for the Knights. I sat in the stands and heard my team cheering for the other team. And I sat there, I was like, I won't do it because I'm too loyal, but good on them. They deserve it. It was so bad. There's zero heart in our squad.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Look, it's just cattle. You got a few plays out there too. But look on the bright side, Ray. You don't support the Tigers.
Oh, my goodness. No, but here's the thing, all right? So I've been saying this. The Tigers got pumped.
Yeah.
But they got pumped by a good team. We got destroyed by a very, very average Newcastle side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got my theory of NRL this year. Penrith, obviously, they're just too good.
Do you think they go for three? They get the three-peat?
If they can keep fit, if Cleary gets back and he's sort of half fit, they'll win three. Yep. Then the next, now, this is my hypothetical. If all these teams are at full strength, you've got Penrith, then you've got Souths.
Yep.
Souths are a very good side.
Very good.
But they had 11 players out last week.
Penrith, Souths.
Then you've got Brisbane, Storm, Parramatta, and maybe North Queensland.
I think you're sleeping on North Queensland, man. I think they're higher on that list.
Well, maybe North Queensland.
Cowboys have been really good.
They are good. But that's how I see it. I think if the draw, depends on how the draw works out. The only reason Parramatta got in last year, they had a pretty easy draw. And they were a good side. Don't get me wrong, they were a good side. But
nothing makes me happier than watching them lose, to be honest. I love it.
I've got a little soft spot for Parramatta because, I grew up in Parramatta.
Can't do it.
And I've got a little soft spot for the Dogs too because they supported South when South were kicked out of the comp.
That's a fair point.
So to give the Dogs, and of course my wife was born in Bankstown Hospital, and her older brother played reserve grade for the Berries because they weren't always the Dogs. They were the Berries.
There you go.
Back in the long time ago.
That's very. I don't even know that, mate. That like you're pulling way back.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've got no clue.
Yeah, so I've got a little soft spot for the Dogs.
Okay.
But I don't. Yeah, I don't know if anyone's going to beat Penrith.
They're just too good. I love what they've done. Like honestly, I want to see them win three.
They just keep unearthing these monsters.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where they come from.
That's the beauty of depth. When you create a side that's got depth, you can do it. You can have a club, an entire club, not just your first grade team, an entire club that is beautiful, just knows what they're doing. Good on them.
Yeah.
I respect it.
No. They know how to do. I was born at Penrith Hospital.
So was I. There we go, buddy.
You were born in the Peen District Hospital.
That's where I was born.
Really? Did you see the plaque? to my name, Fraser Young there. Fraser Young Memorial Ward.
I'm not going to lie to you, I don't remember my birth too well.
Actually, I was a Blue Mountains baby. We lived at Springwood.
My mum
that lived at Springwood. But the only nearest hospital was Nepean District Hospital.
Where were we? I think we were in Richmond at the time.
Okay.
And so they brought us down there, yeah.
But isn't it funny? You've got to be all things to all men. So if I'm talking to the Westies, because we used to live at Penrith.
Yep.
I'm a Westie. I was born out there.
Yeah.
But if I'm talking to someone from the eastern suburbs, well, I'll make a bridge there, you know. We can take this back to the gospel. Mm. You can make a bridge with anyone about anything, you know. My great-great-great-grandfather arrived at Sydney Cove in 1800.
Dead set, 1800.
223 years ago.
You followed that back all the
way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. So if I need to make a connection with that, you know, and if it's Bankstown, well, my wife was born in Bankstown. We lived in Bankstown. Awesome. If it's Newcastle, we lived in the Newcastle area for a while. If it's Central Coast, we lived in the Central Coast. If it's you can make a bridge for especially with the gospel.
And that's the important part about Christianity. You can find
some common ground with anyone in the world.
That's the important part about Christianity that a lot of people tend to forget. You need to make those bridges.
Yeah.
They're important. Otherwise, how are you going to share the gospel with that type of person?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you have to find that common ground without lying.
Of course.
Lie, but you've got to be truthful. You've got to find that common ground. If you're speaking to a Muslim, you commend them on their hospitality. They're 100%. Very big on hospitality.
Yeah.
If you're speaking to a Roman Catholic, oh, that's easy. My father grew up a Roman Catholic.
So do you think it's a skill to learn?
I think it is a skill you can learn. Some people are better at it than others. But, I mean, it's a lot of what I do is just talking to people out in the street about the Lord. You've got to just find that, even if someone is anti, like I'll go to give a tract to someone at a service station, say, no, not interested. And then I'll say, oh, what if I give you $5? Would you read it?
No way.
No way. What about $10? No way. Can I give you anything to read it? And I'll just try and say, listen, can I leave it for you? And whatever. And sometimes you get a knockback. Well, that's fine. Doesn't matter. But try and find sometimes it's got to be a bit funny. You've got to find the only time I don't try and find a bridge is with a cult, as in Jehovah's Witness, or because the Bible says we are not to wish them Godspeed. We are just to give them the truth. Not in a harmful, not in a nasty way, but we need to tell them, no, that is...
What you're doing is wrong.
It's wrong.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, if you do not believe, Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am He, you know, I am Jehovah God, you will die in your sins. They need to know that.
Well, this is a great segue because I actually just watched the video with you talking about this specific topic on your YouTube channel.
Yep, yep.
Talk to me about your YouTube channel. Why did that come to be?
Basically, it was COVID.
Okay.
COVID. We were locked up for how long? You know, it wasn't as bad at Coffs Harbour as it was here. We had a lot more freedoms up there. But especially ministry-wise, we thought, well, I can't go anywhere. We still need to preach. We need to teach. We need to encourage. So I got my tiny little, we live in a little unit, but we do have a small garage. So eBay is your friend. So we just got some green screen. We put the green screen up, got a couple of lights, already had a few cameras. And so we started doing Bible messages. My son David and his wife Hannah, David's our Sunday school superintendent, and we started doing Sunday school online. You know, those first couple of weeks, and it was really corny. I mean, we were just singing a few songs and doing some stuff, and we were getting 700-800 views from day one. You know,
how?
Not people, that's views. So
and
we were getting messages from all over the world saying, oh, all our kids are gathered around the computer to watch Sunday school that's online. Awesome. So most probably those early days, there were several thousand people watching those, and that went for quite a few months. And as I said, we made a little studio, and then I would do the editing in my primitive way. Thankfully, there's people that are a lot quicker than me on the editing. And then other churches were saying, well, hang on,
they can
do that.
Yep.
Why can't we do it? Well, of course you can. It's actually not that hard. It's just getting started.
Getting started's the hard part.
I find it to this day, if I'm going to do a video, it's hard to get started, eh? All excuses in the world come up. The dog starts barking. It starts raining.
Yeah.
Someone starts a mower next door.
The lighting's not right. Oh, I need to zoom. It's just, it's a big mess. filming is one of the coolest things, but one of the most annoying things to do.
But that to get started,
yeah.
Oh, it is so, to this day, and I'm really comfortable in front of a camera,
yeah,
in front of the mic, yeah. But it is so hard
starting
to get
it up,
started.
100%. Man, we had a similar experience when COVID happened. Pastor wanted us to do a kids' Sunday school live session on like Zoom or something like that. I looked at him, I go, man, I don't want to go through that pain of sitting with kids there. It's not going to, first, it's going to be corny, probably embarrassing, and just trying to keep the kids' attention ain't going to work. So our team got together and we said, okay, let's do a kids' online news show. And we came up with the Kids Bible Broadcast. Yeah. So we had a very similar experience to you. And mate, just phenomenal. What you can do on video to present the gospel message is crazy. There's so many different ways to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I know, apart from doing, and I actually did some teen camps that first year, was it 2020? I did some teen camps because we couldn't go anywhere. So a number of these churches around said, can you do them online? Or can we, so I would pre-record them. We set up a studio, actually one, it was Easter 2020, I think it was, or 2021, I forget. But I had a whole series of messages and I made a little studio in one of the Sunday school rooms in our church.
That's awesome.
And I got my grandkids, my grandsons, to form a little, it's always better if you've got a crowd.
That's it.
So one of them was the camera operator. He pressed the button. And then I had three or four of these little, my little grandsons there. And I did about six or seven, almost killed me, took 4 days straight. And I did these messages, bit of editing, and then we uploaded them to a church up in Queensland. And that was there. And we did that, several times.
That's awesome.
But it's fun. And then I did a series with John Ecob from the Herald of Hope.
Yeah.
And very, you know, I went to 1,000 subscribers in about a week.
That's insane.
And I've kept on about 1,000 subscribers. I just
pass them over.
Traveling,
mate.
All the time.
Yeah.
I'll put this.
Pass them over,
I
guys.
I'll send this one. I'm serious. I will.
Joe, hit that subscribe button, bro. Bring it up. Guys, please do us a favor while you're listening to this. You're listening to this great
Let me tell
this great conversation.
There's a little button for you don't know. Hit the subscribe button. There's also a like button. Hit the like button. And also subscribe for all the updates. It's not rocket science.
Shoot us a comment. Let us know. Listen, this sort of stuff gets out there.
Yeah.
People hear the gospel, bro.
Yeah, but this stuff is important.
Yeah.
The Lord's work is important.
Mm.
You know, I was saying, we were talking before about a plumber will do a 1 minute video on how to fix a tap washer and he'll get 6 million views. Like, he's basically, you know, semi literate, ugly. Yeah. And all plumbers are ugly. But we need plumbers, don't get me wrong. We need plumbers.
Fair point.
And he'll have like 6 million views.
Yeah.
Because he's filled a niche. Someone else will do a video on the...
That's all good.
Someone else will do a video on what sort of shoelace colour you should wear.
Yeah.
And they'll have hundreds of thousands of views. I think, what?
Yeah.
What is going on? But the power of... the internet, the power of technology. I think as churches, as Christians, as preachers, we haven't harnessed that yet.
Well, I've got to commend you for it, mate, because a lot of people around your age category and your generation would just run away from it, say, I want nothing to do with it, I know nothing about it. But you decided to learn it. And that's something that a lot of churches before COVID were doing. They were running away from it. They said, we're not going to touch it. Once COVID hit, we started to see the benefits of it. We started to see why it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're starting to utilize it a lot better and a lot stronger way. We're just behind the eight ball, man. We got to start catching up.
Yeah, yeah. Because the, you know, what is there, 8 billion people in the world?
Yeah.
And just about everyone's on YouTube. They're on the internet. And so, hey, listen, back in the, you know, hundreds of years ago when the printing press was invented, when Gutenberg brought out his...
You were there, were you?
No, I wasn't there. Yeah, I was born just after that. But I do remember him. But no. But it was revolutionary.
Yeah.
Wow. We can actually print the Bible and print tracts and leaflets and whatever over the centuries. And I suppose that was seen as radical or revolutionary. Well, the internet is too, but it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
The reach of the internet. And I don't think we're harnessing even 1% of what we could do.
We're very slow with it.
Yeah.
But I think once we start doing it, someone else comes up with an idea, they'll start doing it, and it's a ripple effect.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a friend in Northern Ireland.
Okay.
And he's a dear friend, and I'm not sure how he's about 15 years ago, he's got, it's not muscular dystrophy, but it's similar to that. It's a muscle wasting disease.
Sure.
And he has a degree in media. He's a very, very smart man. He started a ministry, and I'm not even sure if it's going now. I assume it is, but he said, look, I can hardly walk. I'm not a preacher, but I can do media. And so he basically had a preacher friend of his, and he basically did CD. He burned, back in the days when you'd have CDs, he burned CDs, yep. And now it's all online. But that was his ministry, and he's reached millions, like most probably tens of millions of people with this preacher's messages. And who knows how many people have been saved through his ministry. He just did what he could, you know. I keep praying, Lord, there's got to be some young people out there like Joe. But there's got to be some young people out there who, no, they're not going to be a preacher or maybe a missionary or whatever, but they could be a technology missionary. They could use 100%. Their... I know some are, don't get me wrong. Some are, but there's others out there that can use those talents to further the gospel.
100%.
Just do it. Just do it.
And that's the thing. I think it's such a daunting thing to jump online and put yourself out there. And it is a dangerous thing as well. Let's not get it wrong. Like, you know, guys, it's not an easy thing to do this. And sometimes you can say the wrong thing and it's on the internet forever. Mm-hmm. You just got to be comfortable with making mistakes, picking yourself up from it, learning from it, and keep going. And that was one of the reasons Stat and I decided to put this together. We wanted to show that Christians can have a laugh. Christians can just be normal people, but we can also get the gospel out there.
Yep.
And this is just such a fun way to do it. It's a dumb way to do it. Who wants to listen to two Lebo blokes talking or one Aussie, one Lebo just having a gab? Who wants to listen to it? Someone does. And you know what? Someone somewhere down the line is going to say, I need that God they're talking about. I need that Jesus they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They're serious about it. So what is it about him? And we just got to be faithful. We just got to keep pushing through. Mate, it's hard. I won't lie to you. 50 views. Okay, great. 10 views. Great. Keep pushing until the Lord uses one. And that is,
amen.
That's ministry in a nutshell though. Mm-hmm. Ministry is the most discouraging thing there is. We spoke about this on the last podcast. It's so easy to get discouraged in ministry, but you got to keep going.
We keep going because it is God that gives the increase.
That's it.
And as I said to you before, we have no idea the effect we've had on lives. Mm. And most probably thousands of lives that we just don't know about.
Yeah.
But we leave all that to God. We're faithful. We put in the work. You know, we work hard. We honor God. We walk with God. We serve God. With I have no plans to retire. I don't see how I can. I mean, most of my school friends, a lot of them are dead, unfortunately. Serious. A lot of them are dying.
Wow.
So I'm 61. Most of them have retired now. Many of them have retired in their 50s. And that's what they do if you want to retire in your 50s, I suppose. But I have no plans to retire. God may retire me.
Yeah.
We have no guarantee on tomorrow.
100%.
We have no guarantee on our health, on our mind, and so on. But I have no plans to retire. And if God gives me the strength, I'll keep doing this till the trumpet sounds, till we go to be with the Lord.
That's awesome.
Or till the Lord stops my life.
So, ladies and gents, that's real 1997 on YouTube. Make sure you go over there, subscribe to that channel. You know, ring the bell, do all that stuff, show some support to Fraser and to everything he's doing there. I love some of those videos, man. They're engaging, and they're just different varieties of them. Some of them are short form, some of them are long form, some of them are kids' videos. Get it on there. It's great. This is the stuff we need to be supporting online. And, mate, anytime I get to see your head, you know, it's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? So subscribe. Go over there right now. Subscribe. Chuck in the comment section that you came from Have a Chat because you saw him there or talk to me. And, yeah, be good to show some support, show some love to our mate over here. It's good.
Thanks.
That's it.
Thanks, Ray.
Mate, before we close this off, I'm going to ask you something.
Yep.
Ask this to a lot of my people. Send you back in the DeLorean. Send you back in time 10 years.
Yep.
What do you say to that Fraser? 51 years old. What are you telling him? It's a hard question.
Mate, that is such a hard question.
Take your time. Take your time. But what do you say to him? You've got this last 10 years of experience because, mate, there's been a lot that's happened. A lot of ministries happened. A lot of growth has happened. A lot of trials have happened. What do you tell him 10 years ago?
What I would say, what I would say to myself now, just keep going. Just be faithful. Find Obviously, 10 years ago, I knew what God wanted for my life. I've been doing what I do a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, the scary thing is, and this is maybe a bit irrelevant to your question, but I'm one of the older fellas now in fundamental, you know, independent Baptist circles. Yeah. I'm one of the older geezers. I don't think like that.
You don't feel that way either, right?
I don't feel that way, but I am. A conference last week in Brisbane, I was one of the older preachers there, which is a little bit scary. But what would I say to a 51-year-old? Just keep preaching the word. Preaching the word. Keep being faithful. Just whatever happens. Life is so short. You've all heard old people say that.
Yeah.
Life is short. It is short. I'm in the last most... If I live to the Australian average of, what is it, 80... I think the average Australian male lives to 82 or 83. If I live to average and Jesus doesn't come back in that time, I'm in my last quarter. I'm in the last quarter.
Yeah.
The fourth quarter. Mm. So I need to... If I can, pick up the pace.
Yeah, for sure. That's interesting. Pick up the pace. That's interesting because I think we all need to be thinking like that. Yeah. We all need to be thinking that way and just keep it going, keep it going. What would you say to... I've noticed a lot of younger guys and girls are listening to this and they're in ministry and they're growing in their faith and everything. What's your advice to someone that's starting out in the ministry, that's in the early years of ministry, whether it be full-time, part-time, whatever it is, what would your advice be to them on continuing the fight?
Yeah, I could give a lot of advice. be humble and realize that the big moments of learning in your life come through adversity.
Yep.
And you're going to hit that. There's nothing you can do about it. You're going to hit adversity, and that will not – adversity does not teach you where you are in your walk with the Lord. It shows you where you are. So adversity will come along. You learn by those times.
Yeah.
And you realize that God will lead you. If he leads you into whatever ministry, just stick at it. You know, find out what your gifts are. Mm. You know, find out what your spiritual gifts are. When I started preaching back in the, 1980, 79, 80, a long time ago, I would go to my pastor at that time and say, "Pastor, can you please give me some feedback? Am I doing a good job? Pick holes in what I'm doing because I need to know, is this what God wants for my life?" And God confirmed that through the advice of others, like the counsel of others. Also, God gives you a desire of your heart. He puts your desire to this or to that. God give, you know that verse in Psalms, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." Psalm 37, verse 4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And it's not necessarily saying God's going to give you a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
It's going to say he will put the desires that he wants for you into your heart.
Yeah.
Put God first. Be available. Be dependable. Be humble. And be there for the long term. Yeah, just build. There's no, you know, the Lord's work is not done overnight. It's done year by year. Like discipleship. You can't do discipleship in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It takes years. You know, that steady and take whatever opportunities come, take those opportunities. When I was first learning to preach, my pastor would, my very first sermon, if I'm rambling, just tell me.
No, go.
My very first sermon at a church was at the Narromburn Church of Christ. It's in just north of the Harbour Bridge there in Sydney.
Okay.
I have no idea to this day where that church is. I don't know why I went there. My home pastor said, "There's an opportunity for you to preach." And so I went and preached. And that day, I often say there were three old codgers and two draft dodgers. There was about literally five people in the church that day. Actually, there was a couple of old ladies. It was almost empty. And I was terrified. I still have my original outline from that sermon.
Really?
Possibly the most boring sermon ever preached.
What was it on?
It was on King Asa. Seven pages, seven fool's cap pages of notes. Now an outline for me is a little bit of scribble on a paper, you know.
Yeah.
But back then, you know, after that sermon, a lady came up to me. Old lady said, "Brother, you have no idea how God spoke to me this morning." I thought, whew, what a blessing. The next day I spoke at my home church. Sorry, the next Sunday I spoke in the morning service at my home church up here in Bankstown. And I was 18,
okay.
And the text I picked was Revelation chapter 3. And which
doesn't
says,
make it easy on you.
Which says, you know, because you're not hot or cold, you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of your mouth. So I got up to my home church and I said, this church isn't a hot church, this church isn't a cold church, this church is lukewarm and you make God sick and he's going to spew you out. That was my first sermon in my home church, 18-year-old.
Wow.
Yeah. And I most probably wouldn't preach that today.
Definitely not.
Well, maybe I would if God pleased me to. But a lady came up to me after that service and said, brother, God got hold of me today.
Wow.
I needed that sermon. So here I was, stupid young preacher. But God used that, and he step by step, God confirmed. I've got to tell you one more story.
Go.
One more story. My last year at high school, Arthur Phillip High School,
yeah.
1979, I majored in I majored in rugby league and cricket and baseball. But
the trifecta, I love
the
that.
Trifecta.
It's good.
And good hockey, calling. Yeah. You know, I don't know if they do it now, but we did a yearbook.
Okay.
And you basically get a picture of, you know, the students that are finishing. We never called it graduating in those days. We didn't have a graduation. We just got our textbook, dumped them in the bin and walked out of school after the HSC. Nice. But they had a yearbook and they had my picture there. And someone wrote down, Fraser, his you put your life ambition. Yeah. Fraser is going to be the next Billy Graham. No, I never said that to anyone. I never told anyone that the Lord was working in my heart to be a preacher. I had a job as an engineer down here at Milperra Road at Hawker de Havilland, Bankstown Airport. Who told him that? I never told him that. It's just these little things.
It's crazy.
Someone decided that I was going to be an evangelist.
Well, it's funny how the Lord will play that in your life, though.
Yeah.
You know, he'll use that. Just planting the seed, getting you ready, prepping you for that time when he is ready to start using you. That's awesome.
You know, there's another layer. I've got to tell you another story. And again, if I'm rambling, you can edit this.
Mate,
anyway.
I could listen to you for hours, so go for gold.
I remember the first time I got up at church, at Condell Park Church, back in the, must have been about 17 or 18, and I led the singing that night. All I did was just, you know, lead the singing, bring in the sheaves, whatever, Rock of Ages. And I remember there's a lady in the church came up to me afterwards. She said, oh, you did a good job, preacher. And I've never forgotten what she said to him. I didn't preach. I just led the singing and most probably very badly. But she said, good job, preacher. I've never forgotten that. I thought, how did she know I was supposed to be a preacher? I don't know I'm supposed to be a preacher. How did they know in that yearbook at Arthur Phillip High School that I was going to be an evangelist? I never told anyone. God
cool.
just
that is so
God
cool.
leads these little. That's why little comments, little bits of encouragement are so important to
and
kids,
they are.
To adults, especially teenagers need encouragement.
Yeah,
they need encouragement. I always make it after church. I always make a beeline for the young men, young teenagers.
Mate, they get yelled at enough as it is. They get blasted for however they decide to
and
spend
you
their
find,
time.
And just find some way at a church meeting. You know, find some way to encourage them.
Yeah.
If they've got a new pair of shoes, man, I love those shoes. They're awesome. 100%. Mate, thanks for coming and listening 100%. To me today, fellas. Little bits of encouragement.
It goes a long way, man.
They
People
will
don't realize
that
it.
For years.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Mate, I love you. Thank
I love
you so
serving the Lord, mate. I love serving. I love Faith Baptist. So.
And we love you, man. And
I love Faith Baptist.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come out here. Anytime you're in town, you give me a buzz. We'll do another one.
Mate, Ray, it's great. Joe, done thanks. Awesome.
Thank you, mate. Thank you, ladies and gents. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Do all that nice stuff for us. And we'll see you next time.
Okay, will do.
Thanks for talking to me. Took you a while to press that button. There you go. Press it. Yeah, there it is.
Awesome.
Lovely.
Hey, Ray, if I've just rambled on that.
Honestly, you haven't. That's what it's all about.
It was just random things.